بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والجنة للموحدين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى again for all the favors, the bounties that he has bestowed upon us, and we place salawat and taslim upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a means of barakah. The last time we spoke about the boycott that they had upon the Rabbi alayhi sallam, we spoke about the hijrah, the first hijrah to Abyssinia, to Habasha, and we continue on that story because it's very important to extract the lessons that we can learn from all of these events, because at the end of the day, the seerah of the Rabbi alayhi sallam was documented in order for us to understand and learn from what the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, and the sahaba of the Nabi Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt radiallahu anhum wa radu an. So of the lessons that we extract, that we see the patience and the perseverance that the Rabbi alayhi sallam had and the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt when they face this difficulty. For it is not a choice for a Muslim that when he faces difficulty that he can leave off his deen. No. Once you are Muslim and you convince 100% that you are Muslim and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%, it is not an option for you to leave off your deen. Of course, there's no ikrah fi deen. There's no compulsion in deen. And if a person becomes murtad, especially in our time today, we live in a minority, we are the minority, we cannot force people to stay Muslim, but it's not an option for a person to leave of the deen because immediately they become murtad. And of course there's different categories of people being murtad, and that is a different issue. But coming back to our point, that nobody has the option to leave of the deen if they face difficulty. By just by facing difficulty or harm does not give you a reason to immediately leave off your deen. You can protect yourself, yes, but it does not mean that you become kafir or you become mushrik just because you are facing these difficulties. So from the first lessons that we extract is the sabr and the patience and the perseverance that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his ahli, his people, even with the non-Muslims that were with him, because not all the family of the Nabi alayhi sallam were Muslim. There were people that stood up for the Nabi alayhi sallam because he was their family, even though they were not on the same religion, but blood mattered to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, يَا أَوَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ ورحمة. As the ayat continue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, those that claim that they have iman, you and I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Istainu bis-sabr was-salah. Seek refuge with having patience and your salah, your prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it so important to have patience and prayer? You see, a person can be able to handle pain, but if he does not have patience, then he will not be able to survive the pain for a long period of time. But patience is very important to have. So when you face difficulty, also have patience in order to overcome, because pain or harm or difficulty is not that short, it can happen, it can be very long. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, make sure that you have patience with these things, but also with salah, when you make sure that you keep up with your salah, seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with salah, from these difficulties, from this harm that you are facing with salah. Why? One of our doctors, our ulama in Egypt, he says, the reason being is because when a person enters in his salah and you say Allahu Akbar, you are saying there is nothing greater than Allah. Even my problems. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, and he's in control of everything, and nothing can happen except by his decree. No benefit can come to me except by his decree, and no harm can come to me except by his decree. As the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a hadith with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that no matter if jinn or ins have to come together, they will not be able to benefit you except what Allah has decreed to benefit you, and they will not be able to harm you except what Allah has decreed for them to harm you. جفت رفعت الأقلام وجفت المصاحب, that the pens has dried and there's no more after that, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. When Allah has decreed for something, all he says be and it is. And this is the concept that Allah is trying to inform us to have, is that when we make that salah, that we do in it and we have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that salah is your protection. And if you look at the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ وَيُتِسْتُوا بِالْخَوْفِ by fear, وَالْجُوعِ and hunger, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ and loss of wealth, وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَنْفُسِ and loss of people of life, وَالْثَمَرَاتِ and the beautiful things in the dunya, وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ but glad tidings for those that have sabr. And Imam Sha'rawi, he gives a very beautiful explanation. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions khawf first. Why? Because khawf, you will find it, fear or khushu'a, you know, that worry, or at least, let me say, the worry of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do you find that mostly? In salah. You find that most in salah because you fear that you might do something, and because you know salah is the most greatest thing a person has to keep up with, because everything, there's only two things that a person can maybe be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not question about it, but two things you cannot is an amana, is a deen, at least a loan that you might owe somebody, and salah is the first thing that you will be questioned. So khawf in that sense plays a huge role, fear within your salah, because you try to make sure that you make salah correctly and you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you humble yourself. You show that khushu' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is when he says you experience the fear. So khawf, salah. You want to defend yourself or armor yourself when it comes to fear? Your salah is your armor. Your salah is your tool. Wal-ju'i and hunger. Now how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare us for hunger? Siyah? Fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been prescribed fasting upon us like has been prescribed upon those that were before us, so that we may gain taqwa. What is taqwa? Again, some of the ulama translated as fearing. Fearing what? Not fearing Allah in the sense that He is going to, you know, He's this hard God that is going to punish us. No, but you fearing to fall out of that rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sends to us even though we are not worthy of it. So, siyam in that sense gives the person opportunity to train himself when it comes to ju'a, when it comes to hunger. وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ and loss of wealth. Look at zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trains us in that sense to give خُدْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Give of your wealth, or take from their wealth and give it out to the poor so that it may purify them. This is zakah, so it trains you that wealth can be decrease, but even though it's never decreased, because when you give out zakah, you give out sadaqah, it only increases in barakah and khair, and also on the dunya. People think it's just in the akhirah, no, the dunya as well, you will benefit by it. So zakah, naqsim min al-amwali. Naqsim min al-anfus, how do we deal with loss of lives? He says that if you look at hajj, now seniors will tell you that back in the days when there was not everybody could afford to go by plane, and a lot of people go by the ship. They would leave and they would go like 3 months, 4 months, they are gone, 5 months are gone, and a lot of them would be under the understanding that they might not return, because you never know what can happen on the way, or you never know what can happen while they're on Hajj, because there was no messages to message, or the medical facilities at that time was not that advanced, and all of these different things. So when people used to go for Hajj, it's almost as if they are completely leaving off. That's why you find, for instance, in Cape Town specifically, that you find when a person goes for Hajj, everybody comes to greet him and they ask forgiveness and they ask maaf and all. Yeah, it's a beautiful tradition, right? Beautiful tradition that we need to keep up with, because it increases that mahabbah, that love between each other, and that is what the deen is about. So people would greet you, see you off, yani, when you go for Hajj, because you never know that you're going to come back. So you treat the person as if he's now going, huwa fillah, yani, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that indeed he's going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you deal with it in that way as well. That's why you find a lot of people crying when the hujjaj would leave, because they don't know if they're going to see them again. And not too long ago, a few years ago, with the cranes, we saw that it happened in our time as well. So many hujjaj lost their lives because of the cranes that fell upon them, and that even shows us that there it's a reality. So when a person goes for hajj, it trains you almost as if it trains you in a way, when you face death, when you face loss of life. But look at the beauty, he says, but you need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the solutions before facing the problems. He gave us the solution before you face the problems. You know, you go to a psychiatrist, you want to have to sit maybe for a week or two or a few days, tell him about your issues, tell him about your problems, and then afterwards, by listening to you, he will give you the solutions. Now, Allah is the creator of that psychologist, and He's the creator of that psychiatrist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the solutions before we face the problems. So when we face the problems, will be equipped properly in order to face them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us with the Sahaba and the Rabbi alayhi salam, that they show that patience and perseverance, and they seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the ayat, يَا وَلَذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, have patience, and صَابِرُوا, meaning support each other, be there for each other with sabr, meaning encourage other as well to have sabr, compete with each other to have sabr, because it's very important that just when you face a calamity that you have sabr, but those that are around you also as well, make sure that they also have the sabr and encourage them to have that sabr. وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. صبر جماعة المسلمين هي شعبة من الإيمان. It is part of the aspects of iman. It is part of the pillars of iman that a person has to show, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made that a maqam, a status, a daraja by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, in different ayat mentions, inna Allah yuhibbu sabirin, Allah loves those that have patience. And we know that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, when Ammar ibn Yasir and his family went through so much difficulty, that the mother and the father of Ammar ibn Yasir were the first martyrs of Islam, and the Nabi alayhi wa sallam said, isbiru ya ala Yasir fa inna mu'idukum al-jannah. Have sabr, O people of Yasir, for your outcome or the result of this difficulties and the sabr that you're having and the fruits that you will benefit is Jannah. So therefore, sabr is one of the means in order to enter Jannah. Just to have patience with people, to have patience with your family, to have patience with those that are around you. And sometimes when a person show patience with those that are good with him, you need to even show more patience with those that are bad with you, because what is the worth of a patience if it's not tested, especially with difficult times? And this is the most important message that we need to keep on reminding ourselves, Jamaatul Muslimin. One of the things also that we see is that this is one of the alamat, the indications or the signs of the truthfulness of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the Nabi alayhi wa sallam was after wealth and after kingdom, after dunya, the first trial or tribulation that he would have faced, he would have left off this dunya. You see, a person that's objective is the dunya. If he sees that his dunya becomes difficult, immediately he will pull out, because he wants the dunya. That is what he wants. Power, to have an empire, to have a kingdom, that is what the person will want. But the Nabi alayhi wasallam showed the complete opposite response, that with the difficulty and the harm and tribulations that he faced, he showed more patience and more perseverance. Why? Because the Nabi alayhi wasallam was not after kingdom, Jamaatul Muslimin. The Nabi alayhi wasallam was here as a rahmatan min Allah, as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lil alameen, for every single creation on this dunya. And this is one of the lessons that we extract as well, that indeed the objective of the Nabi alayhi wasallam was not to establish a kingdom, but to sincerely call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the lessons that we also extract is the understanding that Nabi alayhi wasallam had of Najashi, and how he sent the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt to Najashi. The ulama extract, and they say, from this we see that it's permissible that if a king that is just, a king that is just, that sees to justice, that does not harm people, does not oppress people, is not a tyrant, and he gives an opportunity that you can express your religion, then there's absolutely nothing wrong by being under governance in that sense, because he gives you that opportunity to be a Muslim. He gives you that opportunity to have a masjid. He gives an opportunity to education, to empower yourself with the knowledge of the deen, to express yourself freely as well. And this is what we see, that the Rabbi alayhi wasallam, reason why he sent to Najashi, he didn't send them in order for them to give da'wah to Najashi. No, he said, I am sending you there. Why? Because there is a king that is just, meaning you are going to live under his ruling, but he's going to give you that opportunity that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely, away from the oppression that they are facing from Quraysh. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila li ta'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, we created you from a male and a female, and we made you in different tribes in order for you ta'arafu. Now ta'arafu does not mean exactly the same thing like lita'alamu. Ta'alamu, knowledge. Ta'aruf meaning that you take the knowledge and you actually realize the proper understanding behind it. It's called realization. So realization is much more deeper. It has much more information that you need to know. So what does the ayah exactly mean, to put it in perspective? That you need to not just know them, the different tribes, but actually get to know them and also to be familiar with them and understand their background and work with them. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Work together upon what is right and what is good, and do not work together upon what is evil and bad and corrupt. But Allah didn't say specifically, أَعْمَلُوا مَا أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. Work together with the people of righteousness upon righteousness. No, He said, work together upon righteousness, meaning He has left it open mutlaq, that no matter who you are, what background you come from, if it is good and it is khair that we can work together, then we work together in order to improve society and improve the community. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, in the Quran, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من ديارهم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make it haram for you to do good towards those that have not killed you or not fought you in your deen, meaning they are not stopping you from establishing your deen, they are not stopping you from establishing masajid, they are not stopping you from establishing institutions, they are not stopping you from performing your siyam or performing your hajj, performing your zakah. They're not. They're giving you the opportunity to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they're not fought you within your deen, trying to stop your deen, وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ, and they do not kick you out of your own land, أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, that you do good to them, meaning you live in harmony. Live in harmony with these people. Islam did not come to show what is it to be a Muslim. Islam came to show what is a true human being. And I always repeat myself that Islam came to show what is a true human being, because the Nabi alayhi salam was rahmah for all human beings, not just Muslims, but non-Muslims as well. So Nabi alayhi salam then sends them to Habasha so they may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they may live in a country and in a kingdom that nobody is oppressed. And of course, without also looking at it specifically, that the Nabi alayhi salam did not, you know, sometimes we find certain brothers say, no, we can't do that because they are not working under Sharia, they're not doing the things according to our Sharia. They won't because they're not Muslim. They won't because they're not Muslim, and that's why the Nabi is not like the Nabi when he sent them to Habasha, that he's thinking that they're going to perform a Sharia, that Najashi is going to now implement the Sharia. Of course not. But he sent them on the purpose of justiceness, that a person is just. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah, in his one of his book called Kitab Majmu' al-Fatawa Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that Allah, inna Allah yuqimu ad-dawlata al-adila wa in kanat kafira, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish and support a dawla, a country that is just, even if it is kafir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not establish or not support or destroy an empire or a country that is Muslim, but it is zalima, it transgresses, because Islam is about justice, Islam is about adl, Islam is about haqq. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants so much, Jamaat al-Muslimin, is to establish the haqq, is to establish what is right and establish justiceness between human beings. That is what Sharia has come in order to propagate, promote as well. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, says in the Holy Quran, لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقى ويحذركم الله نفسه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, and do not let the true believers take the non-believers as أولياء, meaning the ones that is going to be in charge of you, من دون المؤمنين. If you do not find already that there's مؤمنين and مسلمين in those positions, then it's best. And there's nothing wrong with that. In what sense? It's not that we are trying to promote racism or anything like that. But if a person, for instance, is a doctor, and it is best to use a doctor to facilitate see to the needs of a hospital, because it's best to know what is going on there. And that's why, to facilitate the matters of the Muslimin, it is best to have a Muslim. But if that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min duni al-mu'minin, if there's no true believers, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, and whoever does that, then indeed that is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you must understand there's a context within this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about specifically using the non-Muslim in order to promote violence against your Muslim brother, against your own person, against your brother, against your sister, in that sense. And of course, again, talking in context, that time between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, it was war. It was fighting, it was killing, it was murder, it was torture. Alhamdulillah, today we do not live in those circumstances, at least in South Africa, that we have in war between Muslims and non-Muslims. Alhamdulillah, we live in harmony, as the ayah that I mentioned before this, that we can do good towards them and all of these things. But then Allah says at the end of the ayah, إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى. Now, some of the ulama has given tafsir. In Tabari, he says, Ikrima, as narrated by Ikrima, when it came to the part, illa an tattaku minhum tuqa, he says, ma lam yurhiku dam muslim wa ma lam yastahillu malahu. That you can find of them. If you can find of them, those that have tuqa, what is tuqa? We know tuqa also comes from the word taqwa, but what does it mean? Meaning to stay away from something, or to create a barrier from something, to fear something. So Ikrima then says, what it means is that if you can find somebody that is not going to kill or murder or massacre Muslims, or he's not going to try to make something that is haram, halal. And alhamdulillah, nobody has come within South Africa to say that when we do not want to eat pork, that is haram for us, we must eat pork. Or we do not want to drink wine, and no, it's haram for you, you must drink wine. Alhamdulillah, we're not facing that circumstances. So therefore, we fall under the understanding of Ikrima that it's not a problem to be in such a country if they give you that freedom of religion and they do not harm you, do not attack you, do not kill you, they do not prohibit you from establishing your own deen. Because just like the Nabi sent the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt to Habasha, they fell under the ruling of Najashi, and of course Najashi was non-Muslim. Another thing as well, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, يَظْهَرُونَ لَهُمُ اللُّطْفَ يُخَالِفُونَهُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. He says, all when it comes to those people that you can choose and at least be safe with, even though they're non-Muslim, he says, these people, you show them the goodness, you show to them softness, gentleness, but you stay upon your religion. You don't convert over to their religion, but you stay upon your religion, but you show that softness, that gentleness, that kindness towards them. And one of the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِهُلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ إِلَّا وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will not destroy a village except بِظُلْمٍ unnecessary or unjust, unless it's if its family is or its people are establishing sulh. What is sulh? Yani goodness. There is justice between them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will not destroy a village or a people unnecessary or transgression, yani in that sense, if the people are doing good, if there's haq, if there's righteousness, if there is justice, all of these different things. Imam Shawkani actually gives a very beautiful explanation. He says, وَالْمَعْنَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُهْلِكُهُمْ بِمُجَرَّدِ الشِّرْكِ وَحْدَهُ حَتَّى يَنْضَمُ إِلَيْهِ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That it said that shirk alone, kufr alone, is not enough for Allah to destroy them. But what happens? Why were they destroyed? Because they were destroyed because of the practice of corruption. Practice of corruption. Look at Shu'aib, the people of Shu'aib, for instance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only destroyed them. Why? Because they cheated people in scaling things, in tijara, in business. Look at Fir'aun, he said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for all the years Fir'aun was alive and he was in power, Allah left him until what? The haq is in. Now he tries to corrupt the haq, he tries to change the haq, he tries to go against the haq. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys him. I mean, he said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I'm not only your Lord, I am the greatest Lord, meaning he's saying I'm better than Allah. That's what he's basically saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa and Harun, when you come to him, you approach him, say what? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Then when you speak to Fir'aun, he's not even people of the book. But when you speak of Fir'aun, he's not even just a person that's believing or committing shirk. No, he say he himself is God and he's the best God. This person, Allah tells Musa and Harun to speak to him in what way? In a soft and honorable way. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. That you speak to him in a soft and an honorable way so that he may remember, so that some fear might strike his heart thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Sharia is about establishing adl. Sharia, the maqasid of Sharia, the objectives of Sharia is to establish justice between each and every person. That was the Nabi. He was just between a Muslim, non-Muslim, Jew, Christian, whatever the case may be, he was there to. At some cases, even the Nabi, actually a lot of cases, the Nabi was in favor of the non-Muslim, meaning the Jew or the Christian, more than the Muslim himself. Why? Because Islam, again, it's a religion for every single human being on this dunya. It's not meant only for Muslimin, and it's not meant to indoctrinate or force people or place compulsions upon people. Islam came to make life actually easy. Sharia came to make life easy because Sharia is there to establish justness, and that is of the objectives, main objectives, maqasid al-Sharia. For dhulm, oppression, its opposite is adl. It's opposite of justice. And that is on the dunya, no problem. You see people come and say, Sheikh, but the kafir. I say, kufr and iman, that is akhirah. Kufr and Iman, the outcome of Kufr and Iman, the result of Kufr and Iman, at the end of the day, it's entirely up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He does with them, and that is completely a akhirawi issue in that sense, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with him. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever does something good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min khayrin, ya'lamuhu Allah. Whatever good you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know about it. Whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you the benefit on the dunya, might give you the benefit on the akhirah. We never know. How is the benefit going to be? Allahu ya'lam. Allah knows best. And we're not there to judge, and we're not there to give our opinions concerning this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to recite this Quran from our hearts, not only from our minds, but from our hearts, that we make tadabbur, that we make contemplation and ponder upon the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.